Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and your host here for Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can learn more about not only me and the program here, but also about our home church where I pastor, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can also read some articles and things that I have that are on there. And there's some other materials and such that are available all at livewithpastoral.com. And of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air here. And a little bit different here this evening for a variety of reasons. It's just been a busy week this past week. But in addition to that, our program has undergone some changes. For those listening in northeastern Ohio on AM 1220 The Word, if you're not aware, if you're just joining us tonight, we are now on at 10 o'clock as well. So in northeastern Ohio, AM 1220 The Word, it's also available online at whkwradio.com. We're now on from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock, and that's a live program. We just finished that. Excuse me. And we are now going into our second hour, and it's still the same program. We just been on for an hour, but we're also now joined by our listeners in Florida on Faith Talk Tampa. And so we're glad to have you joining with us here now in the 11 o'clock hour, and hope that you'll stick with us until midnight tonight as we continue talking about what's happening in the world around us and what's happening in the Word of God. And it's been exciting having the extra hour. And I related at the start of the program in the last hour, I said I was mentioning this at church and about, I don't know if I'll be able to talk for 2 hours, and people laughed at me. I was just still trying to figure out why they were laughing at me. But anyway, we are here, and as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Got a number of things that we're going to be touching on here this evening, but I do want to take our caller, Nancy, who's been faithfully holding since the last hour. And many of our listeners are familiar with Nancy. She usually calls in, usually one of our first callers. But we had some newer callers, which we went to and talked about some different things. But Nancy's been faithful, and she's holding. And I know she's been praying for us with our new hour as well. Nancy, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, I enjoyed hearing all those callers.
Oh, wasn't it nice?
Yes, I have friends that I said, why don't you call in? Why don't you call in? I have different friends that I think are more biblically, current events, more knowledgeable than me. And I haven't talked them into it, but I always like to hear other callers too. Now, first of all, I would like to wish Lauren Merry Christmas.
Our first caller in the last hour, for those who weren't listening, was Lauren, who called to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And I said, yes, and a Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Right. Now, I was very interested in your call when you called on Friday from the World War II Memorial. You were down in D.C., and you were talking about how you rededicated your life to Christ, and that people, when you were in the Air Force, a fellow Air Force soldier had been inviting you to his church, And you did eventually go. And when you got there, they said, well, we've all been praying for you. And I know you were saved before, but you explained that you rededicated your life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that put me, and then, interesting enough, you know, in lieu of Veterans Day, Pastor Andy, you know, my pastor for 36
right.
years, he got saved in the Army. He got saved. And then you rededicated your life.
Right.
But he actually
And let me interject for our Florida listeners. He was down in Florida, he was at a base down, I want to say around in the Keys, wasn't it?
I think Key West.
Yeah, I think there was an Army base. I don't know if it's still there. But yeah, it was in the military where he got saved.
Mm-hmm. And I just positively love this little booklet, Praying Effectively for the Lost by Lee Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise is that the lost will not, and indeed cannot, be saved unless someone prays for them. And I just, you know, I was just so inspired, you know, by the fact that these people in that church that you went to when you were in England in the Air Force, that they prayed you into the church, and then you really dedicated yourself to the Lord. And then also, I would like to mention, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I went, my mother, mm-hmm. my twin sister, and I, every Sunday, we memorized a Bible verse, King James Version, every Sunday, my twin sister and I, for about 10 years, every week. And I was just, I was looking over this little booklet, Praying Effectively for the Lost, and I didn't get saved till decades later, when a fellow a person in nursing, when I was working at the hospital, started witnessing to me. And on page one of this little booklet, it says, when the first time I received the gospel, my soul was saved. I thought that I had never really heard it before. I began to think that the preachers to whom I listened had not truly preached it. But on looking back, I'm inclined to believe that I heard the gospel fully preached many hundreds of times before. Then I started going to all different churches every week until I got saved. So I then, this is the difference. I then heard it as though I did not hear it. When I did hear it, the message may not have been clearer in itself than it had been in former times, but the Spirit was present to open my ears and guide the message to my heart. Then I thought I had never heard the truth preached before. Now I'm persuaded that the light shone often on my eyes, but I was blind. Therefore, that light had never come there. The light was shining all the time. I had no power to receive it. But I just thought that was so fascinating when I was rereading this booklet today. I think that's what happened to me. I was thinking, well, they didn't really preach the message, but perhaps they did, but I was just not open to it. So anyhow, just want to...
Well, and I think you actually brought up some very good points, because this is something that the people have argued over. And when you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So without Christ, without God's Spirit working in your heart, you cannot understand in your lost state the gospel. And so people then argue, well, how can anybody get saved? And some people make the error of saying, well, God saves them. Now you're saved. You can hear the gospel, understand it, repent, turn to Christ, and ask for forgiveness of your sins and get saved. Well, if you're already saved, why do you have to go do that? Because you're already saved. And they get the cart before the horse there. But here's, and this goes into what you're saying on that book, about nobody who's unsaved is going to get saved unless somebody's praying for them. That's a saved person praying for them. And that made me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul writes this here. Let me see if I can find it here. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, and that's referring to the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then as you continue reading, he says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then he says in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when you think about this, the unsaved person in 1 Corinthians chapter, I think I might have said chapter 3 earlier, chapter 2, in verse number, looking back here, in verse number 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And then here in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, or I'm sorry, verse 6, it says that God commands, literally commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, meaning that the unsaved person cannot discern the things of God until the light of God shines into his heart. And God does this, and that brings me to another passage in Hebrews chapter 6 that gets very confused and misinterpreted by many. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, see how we're carrying that theme of light, who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And stringing all this together here, we find that the unsaved person who cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned and the unsaved person is spiritually dead, God has to shine into their hearts the light that only he can shine into the heart. And I think that's when like you said in that book, Praying Effectively for the Lost, which by the way, it is on our website, I think, a reference to it at livewithpastoral.com. And we've given some of those away in the past. But when we pray as a saved person, when we pray for unsaved people, I believe what happens is God shines the light into their heart, like we saw there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as that light shines into their heart, it's to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They now see the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and that leads us to, as I said in Hebrews 6, where they're now enlightened. They're an unsaved person who are now enlightened. Now, the mistake is that the people who think that this is talking about somebody getting saved and then losing their salvation, nowhere in Hebrews 6 does it say they're saved. It just says they were enlightened. And so now they see the truth. And then that next phrase where he says, and have tasted of the heavenly gift. They haven't ingested it. They've just tasted it. They get a taste of what heaven is and what the gospel message is, and they're enlightened. They can see it and now understand it, like you said, for the first time. And what are they going to do with it? Are they going to accept it, or are they going to reject it? They're tasting it. Are they going to ingest it fully, or are they going to spit it out? They're tasting the holy or the heavenly gift. They're now made partakers of the Holy Ghost because the Spirit of God is moving on their heart, bringing light to the darkness, much like in Genesis chapter 1, where when God created the heaven and the earth was, remember, void, and it was covered with water. It was chaotic. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters there in Genesis chapter 1. And remember what happened? God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the darkness was pushed back because of the light. And that's what happens, I think. The chaotic, unsaved heart is the Spirit of God moves upon the face of that dark, chaotic heart. And God says, let there be light. And they're now enlightened. They see themselves as they are. They have tasted, they've partaken of the Holy Ghost in that the Spirit of God has moved in their heart. And then they've tasted the good word of God. They hear the gospel message. They hear the scriptures. The wages of sin is death. They hear the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. So they taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. They see the power of God to save, and now they're at a decision time. Will they choose to accept the gospel message and be saved, you know, accept Christ, or will they choose to reject him and fall away? And when they fall away, knowing what true salvation is now, they have no other means to give them any kind of hope whatsoever. Hebrews chapter 10, I won't go there right now, but Hebrews chapter 10 goes into this as well. They have nothing left but a certain fearful looking of fiery judgment and indignation. And so they now, if they fall away, if they reject Christ, well, then they can't be saved because they're rejecting what they know to be the only means of salvation. So he says, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, meaning it's impossible if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. When rejecting the gospel, you can't be saved.
Is that somebody having a reprobate mind?
I think that leads to the reprobate mind, right? When somebody hears the gospel and makes the conscious decision to reject it. They know that it's true. My wife, Kim, who's here in the studio with me, we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. We started a church in America in Samoa, and it's still going today in the form of Vai Oleola Baptist Church. And they've got a nice building, and every once in a while I see some of their services online. But when we were starting down there, we were talking with different people, and we had one gentleman who's with the Lord now who is partly responsible for the church because he was praying that God would bring somebody there to start a church like what we did. He had a family member who rejected the gospel, and Kim and I talked to her, and she said, I know that it's true. And she said, I also know that if I trust Christ as my Savior, God will change my heart. And then she said, you know, I like my life like it is now. I like the partying. I like the drinking. I like the bingo and all that. And if I put my faith in Christ, he'll take the desire for that away from me, and I don't want that. So she rejected the gospel. She is somebody who was enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift. She was made a partaker of the Holy Ghost. She tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and she fell away. She rejected it. She was never saved to lose her salvation. Instead, she had her understanding opened, her eyes opened. She was enlightened to see the truth of salvation. See, this is where both the Arminians, who believe you can lose your salvation, and the Calvinists, who believe you have to get saved in order to be saved, because God creates certain people to be saved in order and certain people to not be saved. But both of them have errors when it comes to this process of salvation, and both of their errors are partly based on the fact that it's a result of men, fallible men, who had difficulty understanding some deeper things in the scripture, and they came up with a shortcut that made sense to them, but then it forced them to change everything else. So the Arminian says this talks about somebody who's saved and they lose their salvation. It's not what it's talking about. And as I tell people, if it did, then it also says you can never get saved again. And I've heard people who believe that it means you can lose your salvation say, well, I've lost my salvation before, but then I got resaved again. Well, then, you know, it's illogical. That logic doesn't fly in this, because if this meant you could lose your salvation, it also means you could never get saved again. But it's simply talking about enlightening, being your eyes open. And like you said, that book, How to Pray Effectively for the Lost, what happens is that when you are an unsaved person who cannot understand the things of God, God opens your understanding. And I believe it's in response to Christians praying for you. And then you have the opportunity, will I trust Christ as my Savior or will I reject him? And that's the part the Arminians have right. It is free will choice, but it also points to where the Calvinists come short in this process, because there we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, in verse 14, neither can their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And that's where they say, well, the simple solution here then is, because the unsaved person can't understand the gospel message until they get saved. Well, obviously, God saves them. Now they're saved. They can understand the gospel and they can trust Christ as their Savior. Well, that's an error as well. But see, John Calvin, as a young man trained as an attorney, you know, trained in the law in Roman Catholic institutions, you know, he looked back to things that he learned, and it made sense to him to interpret that way. But then, you know, it's like we did a study of Arminianism and Calvinism in our church some time back, and I said, one is a case where they found that if you shave the corners off the square peg and use a big enough mallet, you can force it into the round hole every time. And the other side found that if you squared off the round sides of the round peg and used a big enough mallet, you could fit it into the square hole every time. And, you know, so it's just, that's what they've done. The true position is a biblical position, which means that God is not willing that any should perish, means just exactly that, that when it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, means just exactly that. Everybody has the opportunity to get saved, but not everybody will. And God, of course, has to open the eyes of the unsaved so they can understand the gospel. And when they understand it, it's their choice to put their faith in Christ or not. And then if they choose to put their faith in Christ, Jesus said specifically, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. I like that, the security that Christ gives us. Never perish, eternal life. Elsewhere it says everlasting life, and it's exactly what it means.
Yes, so. And I would just like to say that I prayed for over 20 years for both my husband and my twin sister, and also my church did too, and I really think that was, I was able to witness to my twin sister the whole time for over 20 years, and she did get saved, praise the Lord.
Amen.
About 4 years before she went to heaven, and my husband did too, about 3 years before. And my husband was not very receptive to me witnessing to him, but I prayed continuously. I mean, every day for, you know, at least 20 years.
Yeah.
He did get saved. And I know my church was praying very fervently, so I just want to encourage listeners not to give up. I mean, it took over 20 years for both my twin sister and my late husband.
Now, I know my wife prayed 11 years, I believe it was, for her father, or 12 years for her father to get saved. And when the Bible talks about praying for people and God opening their understanding, it doesn't say it's going to happen overnight. Sometimes it happens pretty quick, but sometimes it takes years. And,
amen.
You know, and I just want to say, Nancy, thanks for your faithfulness to pray for them and to continue to pray for them. And that's why people ought to have a list of people that they pray for that are unsaved. I know, you know, we want to see people saved, and it has to be something better, a little more specific than, and Lord, I pray that all the unsaved people in the world get saved. And they say, well, make it a little more specific. Yeah. Well, Lord, I pray that all the unsaved people in China get saved. Yeah, make it a little more specific. Lord, I pray that my cousin, I pray that my friend, I pray that my neighbor, and fill in the blank, and put them on a card or something that you can keep, like a file with some index cards, where you can pray for them. And maybe if you've got too many to pray at one time, you can rotate through them. And as God brings them to mind, you can pray and just lift them up before the Lord in prayer. And you can go with that. Just to keep praying for them. If you're out there listening, you got a loved one that's not saved, keep praying for them. I've got some people on my prayer list I've been praying for years, and they've not gotten saved yet. But in some cases, I've certainly seen them, you know, certainly soften up to the things of God and seem to have a little more interest and certainly a little less hostile towards it than that they had been previously. And so keep praying. Keep people in prayer. And I wanted to mention, too, I think somebody had just tried to call in. We weren't able to get the phone. If that was somebody listening that just tried to call in, please try and call back again. We've got a few minutes before the program. And Nancy, we've got a break coming up here in a couple of minutes. And did you have anything else that you wanted to mention before the break comes up?
No, I just want to congratulate you on having a two-hour show now. So praise the Lord.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And hopefully we'll be able to use it for the Lord's glory. So thank
Amen.
You for...
Amen. Well, you have already. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. You are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, the odd thing, I had the weirdest sensation. We were coming up on the bottom of the hour break, and I felt like, wow, it's almost the end of the program. I realized, wait a minute, we're only three-fourths of the way through, I guess. So we've got another half hour to go once the break kicks in. But again, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we did have somebody that tried to call in, and we weren't able to get the phone answered. So you can call back, and the phone lines are open. Hopefully that's coming back. Got a break coming up. Want to mention a couple of things that are coming up as well. There's some things I wanted to touch on with the elections. And a number of us traveled from northeastern Ohio to Washington, D.C. for Veterans Day. We left on Thursday. And we arrived there Thursday night, and then, of course, we had great weather, beautiful weather the whole way down. And, of course, on Friday morning, we woke up with the remnants of what had been at one point Hurricane Nicole, and down to a tropical storm. And then, of course, that broke up Tropical Depression, and we had rain in the forecast. And of course, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., where the World War II Memorial is, it's all outdoors, all outdoors. And we had quite the program prepared. We had Bob France, who many of our listeners know. They've listened to him. He's on our sister station here in northeastern Ohio, 1420 The Answer. Bob France is also familiar to those listening in Tampa to sister stations in the Salem Network and elsewhere. He's been a fill-in guest for Hugh Hewitt in the morning, as well as Sebastian Gorka and Dennis Prager and others during the course of the day on the Salem lineup. So if you listen to any of those programs, you probably heard him. He was our MC and master of ceremonies at our event. We had a 98-year-old World War II veteran. We had a crew of, I think it was crew 1994, World War II reenactors, actually a Boy Scout troop that does this, all dressed in period Army uniforms. And we'll be talking about this some more when we come back in the second half of the program. But what a blessing to be able to celebrate the addition of the the D-Day prayer, whereby President Johnson announced that the D-Day invasion was, or I'm sorry, President Roosevelt announced that the D-Day prayer was, or invasion was underway. So stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me. You can also find out more about the radio program. You can listen to past programs there, and you can listen to our Friday afternoon programs. And if you are not in an area where you hear our new 10 o'clock hour, you'll be able to soon be able to listen to those as well, all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, from there too. Learn more about that. And there's a variety of articles and different things that I've written that are available there as well. So check us out, livewithpastoral.com. Also, a list of some of our social media where we're at. We're on a variety of different social media sites, and you can find out more all at livewithpastoral.com. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and again, that number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible and or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. I do want to, before we get back to our callers, I wanted to mention this past Friday, and I wanted to do it during this hour because we've got our Tampa area listeners with us, our Florida listeners, and think of MacDill Air Force Base down there, and just wanted to remind people that this past Friday was Veterans Day, so a belated happy Veterans Day. I know there's a lot of veterans there in the Tampa area, and so happy belated Veterans Day there. I was, of course, in the Air Force myself, and myself and a number of other veterans went on a bus from northeastern Ohio along with others. We had, I think, 30-some, we had almost 40 people, I guess, on the bus, and we left Thursday morning. And we headed from northeastern Ohio to Washington, D.C., got in there that evening in the D.C. area. And then in the morning, along with the accompaniment of the remnants of the tropical system that once was Hurricane Nicole, we went up to the World War II Memorial. And what an exciting time it was. We had a great program there. The Lord really blessed. When we were in the hotel that morning, they said that the winds were supposed to be 10 to 12 miles an hour. And instead of being 10 to 12 miles an hour, we had virtually no wind. We were supposed to have gusts 20 to 25 miles an hour. And yet it seemed to be no wind. So that was exciting, thinking about that. We had a great time, great program there, and we can just check in something here on my notes here. We had, a number of speakers there. Bill Federer, many of our listeners are aware of Bill Federer, and they know him. He actually came up from Florida, and we were concerned about him getting in with the remnants of Nicole, but he got in without any problem. He's always great. You always learn something listening to him. Best way I heard it described one time is somebody said it's like trying to drink from a fire hose. So much information, and you're always catching something that you didn't catch the last time. But Bill Federer, I talked with him. He's going to be on the program with us sometime in the hopefully not too distant future. I believe around Thanksgiving we're going to be doing a special program with Bill Federer and talking about the history of Thanksgiving, and that should be exciting. So we'll keep you updated on that. Actually, it's not too far away. I think we're looking at a Friday afternoon program. The 25th, I think, is our tentative date, November the 25th. And so we're looking forward to that. But he was there. We had a 98-year-old World War II veteran, Charlie, who was having the time of his life. I was talking with the Marine chaplain that we had that did the invocation. We were watching Charlie as he was surrounded by the crew 1944 World War II reenactors, a bunch of young men associated with a Boy Scout troop out of Canton, Ohio. They were all around him, and he was just having a great time, kept getting up out of his wheelchair and raising his hands up and trying to get them to shout and go, hoo, 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 and all that kind of stuff. The person who was with him said, "Charlie, do you want to go back over where everybody else is now?" And he gave, as I put it, since this is on a Christian station, I put it this way. He gave a very emphatic Patton-like no. And if you know General Patton and his character, his reputation, you'll understand what I meant. And he was having a great time, and the chaplain and I were talking, and we were talking about how, he looks like he's really enjoying himself. He earned it as a survivor of the D-Day invasion. And so what an exciting time. Of course, Chris Long, who was on our program last week talking about this, what an opportunity to see the vision that he's carried for 11 years coming to fruition, and just exciting. And then Representative Bill Johnson, congressman from southeastern part of Ohio, I believe it is, who is the backer in the in the U.S. House, and Senator Portman backed it in the Senate. He was unable to be with us, and then we had a group of young Marines that came through. We didn't even know they were coming, and they came and they joined us for a while, and some other passerbys. We had a great turnout, great event. And it was just exciting. And then we had a tour of the World War II Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, the Korean War Memorial by Bill Federer as well. And we wound up at the Lincoln Memorial. And it was exciting. And we had a great time. Appreciate everybody who prayed for us. I called in our Friday program, and I'll be uploading that online at livewithpastoral.com. I don't have a copy of the program yet, but when I do, I'll have that online, and it will be available at livewithpastoral.com. So, again, appreciate everybody's prayers, and we had a safe trip back. A little rainy. Glad I wasn't driving, but Lord bless, kept us safe on the roads. What a wonderful time. And you can check it out online at ohioca.org. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Or at ddayprayerproject.org. ddayprayerproject.org there. ddayprayerproject.org. And you can see the YouTube clip. It was broadcast on YouTube Live, and that should be available at those sites, ohioca.org or ddayprayerproject.org. I'll have to get that link to our website, livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Cheryl calling from Medina, Ohio. Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. It's nice to talk with you, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep. I have a question about idols.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of them are, they're very clear biblically in the golden calf and that kind of thing. But I think they're probably very subtle idols. And my understanding is that anything that you put before the Lord in your life. So, but my question is, your knowledge about what kinds of subtle idols might people have, and of course, the point is to recognize them, identify them, and then, how you would deal with eliminating them as idols in your life.
You know, that's a good question, because we think of idols oftentimes as being some object, like a carving of some kind of a deity or something or whatever, maybe somebody with the head of an eagle and and different things like that, all kinds of weird things and people bowing down before them. But like you well pointed out, sometimes it's much more subtle. An idol essentially is anything that really, like you said, comes between us and God. Something that we value more than God really becomes an idol in our life. It takes away from the worship and the attention that should be devoted to God, and it puts it on something else. Now, I'm not saying we can't pay attention to other things and all, and oftentimes we need to, but it's more than just attention. It's the importance that we put on things. And I think basically anything that we value more than God has the potential of becoming an idol in our life, and it could be an object. I remember when my wife and I were married, this place that we lived, there was a guy that we used to joke he worshipped his truck every Sunday. When we were getting ready to go to church during the nice sunny days during the summer, he was out there. His truck was his pride and joy. He had this pickup truck, and he was out there washing and waxing it every weekend, every Sunday. It seemed like he was out there when we went to church, washing and waxing his truck. It was his pride and joy. And, in a sense, it had become his idol because it was more important to him than God was. And
especially on a Sunday morning.
Yes, yes, exactly. It'd be one thing if it was on Saturday morning, but you know, it, in terms of going to church, well, he can't. He's got to wash and wax his car, his truck again, even though he just did it last week and maybe a couple times last week. So, you know, oh, go ahead.
What kinds of what questions do you ask yourself to try to identify the idols in your life? In
you know, and you're breaking up there a little bit, Cheryl, with your phone kind of breaking up a little. But I, you know what I think is a good question? And I don't have the verse in front of me right now, but for time's sake, I think people remember. Remember the rich young man that came to Jesus and said he kept all the commandments from his youth up? And he said, what good thing do I need to do in order to inherit eternal life? And Jesus went through the commandments that related to his relationship with his fellow man, and different ones, and the young man said, well, I've kept all these from my youth up. But the one major one that Jesus didn't mention was the first one about having no other gods before me. And the young man said, well, I've kept all these commandments from my youth up. And he and Jesus looks at him and says, go and sell everything you have and distribute it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Yeah, and so what happened to the young man? He went away sorrowful, the Bible says, because he was very wealthy. He had great, you know, he had a lot of wealth and a lot of possessions. And right there, the question would have been answered. Did he have an idol in his life? He sure did. It was his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus nailed it there, Jesus wasn't saying that everybody has to sell everything they have and give it to the poor and become a pauper in order to go to heaven. He wasn't saying that a rich person can't go to heaven unless they get rid of all of their money. What he was saying, this young man prided himself in being nice to his fellow man, but he still had something that was more important than God in his life. It was his wealth. And when Jesus nailed him on it, he couldn't do it because his wealth was more important than his God, than his Lord, I should say. And so his wealth had become his God, had become an idol. And I think that's a good way of looking at it. If God said to you, I want you to give this up and come serve me, could you do it?
Well, and that's it. And that's what I was wondering is, you know, some more specifics. And actually, I just now thought of one that I thought might be pretty contemporary. And that would be, you know, we've often thought and said about how important biblical principles are
mm-hmm.
for children, raising them so that they know them, so they recognize them, so they don't go off the track and off.
Right.
And one thing that I can think of is the family that has, you know, a big house and all this stuff that they have to pay off. And so they really can't they can't do homeschool and et cetera, et cetera. And it never seems to come up about, well, maybe you don't need to have such a big house and maybe you don't need to have three cars. And which is more important, you know, having that, all of that, or making sure that your children grow up knowing biblical principles, because unfortunately, they're not always going to get it at a church they're going to.
Right. Well, you know,
I mean, I can see that as a current possibility of an idol.
Yeah.
We can't give up this big home. We can't give up this mm-hmm. beautiful golf course, and you know, whatever.
When you were talking about that, I remember many years ago, my wife and I were in a missions conference down in Kentucky. I think it was Cleeton, Kentucky. Yeah, a little tiny town, hardly anything there. And wasn't even a crossroads. It was a little dead-end street. And went up into this little town. And there was a missionary family that was there. And they obviously were a little better off than most of us because they had this really nice RV that they were traveling in. But we found out their story. They were a very wealthy family. I forget what the guy did for a living, but he actually collected classic cars. You know, he didn't just have two or three. He had a huge, he was like Jay Leno, you know, a big car, a garage full of classic cars. And when God called him into missions, he had a choice to make. What am I going to do? Are these cars more important to me than serving God? And thankfully, he chose to serve God. He sold the cars. He quit his job. And they sold their big house, and they moved into an RV, and they traveled around to different churches preaching and preparing. I don't even remember what country they were going to. But what if he had not been willing to give up his cars, to give up his mansion, to give up his big-paying job? That right. certainly would have been an idol.
Yeah, and here's another. This is a good example. Dutch Sheets was talking about this, I think, last week, and that was he and his wife had this, dream goal. They thought it was where the Lord wanted them to be a missionary overseas. And, it fought with him and fought with him. And then he realized that the Lord wanted them at, I think it was Christ for the Nations University or college or something like that. That's where he had gone to school. But it was a struggle. In other words, a dream of a career or something like
that. Yeah, can be a god, yes. Yeah. Or an idol, I should say. Yeah, it is. It really, when you think about it, the devil is subtle. And anything that he can, anything he can get in our life to take our attention off from God, he's happy.
Right. So, and we can often identify the big ones, but not necessarily the little ones. The little ones, we have to really look for them. You know, tell me what they are, and then reject it, make that decision.
And be on guard and put Christ first. That's another protection as well. Yeah. Hey, Cheryl, I got another caller calling in. We're going to try and get to you before the end of the program, but that's an excellent call.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in with that, and it's a good reminder for listeners. Be on guard against the devil creating idols in your life. They might start out as good things, but if they become more important than God, it's an idol. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom calling from Akron, Ohio tonight. Tom, good to hear from you tonight. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Al. How are you doing?
I am doing well.
Sounds like you're outside of some rain. Your event went really well.
Well, and you know, the amazing thing is, not only did the wind not come that was forecast, much of the time the rain let up. And
that's good.
It was kind of nice when we got to the Lincoln Memorial. We had some food, and I'll tell you this. If I get time, I'll tell you the story about that, or maybe I'll save it for another time, how God delivered on having food. But when we got our food, the rain stopped long enough that we could sit down outside Lincoln Memorial and eat without getting soaked.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. We had steady rain here pretty much throughout the day.
But it was really nice.
I was going to comment real quick on what Nancy called in on tonight. About.
Yes.
Praying for people for a long time and everything, you know, it does take a long time sometimes for people to come around. But I know we had one. I just had a cousin recently die, and a couple years younger than I am. And it was interesting because he was raised in a very devout Christian believing family that very active in their church. The mother and father and the two other siblings all gave their hearts to the Lord. But my cousin was in rebellion all of his life against it. And as far as we know, if he did accept Christ, nobody knew about it. But it was his service was conducted by his two children, and they followed it according to what he wanted them. There was no mention of God or anything. The only thing that was mentioned was his belief in Socrates and Plato and philosophy. So who knows? I mean, maybe before he died, he asked the Lord because he certainly had the witness. But lots of people prayed for him for years and years.
Right.
But it just goes to show you that, you know what? Everybody has a choice to make, and even God doesn't violate somebody's right to choose against him.
You're absolutely right. And God does give us that opportunity. That's why it's so important not only to share the gospel with people, but to pray for them. Because only right. God can open up the heart to not only right. understand, but to be willing to put their faith in Christ.
Yeah, but my point is this, that even coming out of a Christian family and with lots of witness and lots of people praying for him for years and years, he just hardened his heart against the truth for years. And that mm-hmm. you reach a point where it's not that God can't save us, it's that we won't be saved.
We don't want him to, right?
Right.
And we won't let him.
I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
It's not that we wake up one day and God says, oh, I'm through with you, go yeah. away. No, I think the Lord will always receive us, but without the help of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that's the key. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us and exposes the gospel to us and, like you said, enlightens us. And it's like, you know, the more we reject that and walk away from it, I think the harder our heart becomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Until we become essentially of a reprobate mind, and we won't listen.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, I think it's just a matter of the human will
mm-hmm.
that God gave us the right to choose to love him or not.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hard thing, because, as you said, it's the human will. And so that makes it up to us. Will we willingly choose, or will we willingly choose not? And that makes it difficult. But, you know, in order to have free will, we have to have the ability to both choose and choose not to. Or it's not really free will, is it?
That's right. But you know what? We never know who's going to reject it or be saved. So our work is to share that gospel and keep praying.
Exactly, Tom. I appreciate that. And thank you for calling tonight. We're about out of time here, Tom. And appreciate that. Appreciate your prayers. And thank you. God bless. And you've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for your prayers. And we're certainly thank the Lord that we had an extra hour tonight. Join us again next week if you're able at 10 o'clock. And then, of course, if you can't, join us at 11 o'clock as well. And God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.